differences between Nitro Beard and Kotaku. Whenever, whenever Nitro Beard did their site redesign, it actually fucking worked. Ho ho! Zinger.
Zing!
Zinger. I got plenty more.
Let's do another one. All right. Okay. Hey, guys. Yeah. You want to know what the difference between Kotaku and Nitro Beard is?
Yeah.
You bought?
We're better journalists.
Whoa! Oh. All right. All right.
So as long as we're calling out like completely helpless like institutions, you know what the difference is between Nitro Beard and Hudson?
What's that?
We're still in business.
Pouring one out, because I mean, let's be fair, guys. It's not fun. It's not funny to make fair of Kotaku because they're no longer relevant. Oh, there it is.
Damn,
man, that's saucy.
Kotaku more like doesn't work on my iPad. Aku. Am I right or am I right?
More like, I wish I was a joystick at Taku.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There it is. There it
well,
is.
Well, if Kotaku made these jokes, they would have to have the punchline hidden behind a link.
Right, yes.
Drive more traffic.
Also, alright, okay, this is my, okay, alright, here we go. This is what the Kotaku website looks to a blind person. Logo. Image! Text. Text, image, 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 text, image, 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 image,
and it takes, image. Is that how those TDT machines work for the internet use?
Yeah, the text. Yes, I mean, yeah.
If they don't put in some kind of alt text or whatever, I wonder if there's an alt text for this Donkey Kong My Hero image.
Probably.
But it has frames. Frames are big, right?
Oh God!
Frames are huge.
You know what? It's so weird. I used to like when I took my web design class and went like you never use fucking iframes. You never did, and then now like Kotaku did this, and then YouTube like when you do and you know if you want to embed the code, it say here use our iframe code, and I'm like what? But what?
Who uses that? Yeah, because
now I'm pretty sure you can't like view this site on CompuServe anymore or Prodigy.
CompuServe. The worst part about it is
web TV.
They did this redesign. They did this redesign so it would work on iPads, and it doesn't fucking work on iPads. Like, that's the tragic part.
I was so surprised when you mentioned that, when they, like, specifically, I guess, apparently mentioned that, hey, yeah, iPad users, you're going to love this.
Yeah, and it doesn't work. It's like another suicidal – oh.
Another great thing is it's just so goddamn hard to read. It really is.
You can't keep track of it because your eyes – I mean – we're here in the Western culture, your eyes go, you know, from left to right. And there's a big break after every single line because you have your – it's so bizarre.
How do I work a website? What I love is that when you click the switch to blog view, it just like it swaps out the frame and there's still – like you get articles on the left and the right now. It's
and the worst thing is you know your web design is super terrible whenever the first new post is, here's how to read our website.
Yeah,
it's three or four paragraphs that you have to explain it.
I also have to mention that it looks like Kotaku discovered the League of Movable Type, which is a website that makes really sweet fonts. And I'm a typophile, so I love me some Helvetica and shit.
Right.
And then now it's ruined for me because it's on Kotaku, and it's just I had just made Mark's Wallet Abuse Wednesday little logo thing using
which
one of the fonts.
Super nice, by the way. You did a fantastic job actually making my post look, you know, legible. So I'd like to thank you for that. It's pretty cool.
Thank you. You're welcome. Well, I try to. It's the least I can do when I make posts about rabbits that shoot each other and other things. I'll leave. So yeah, but so now it's nothing is sacred. I just made that logo for Mark, and now Kotaku's on it, and I gotta find a new source for slick fonts.
Yeah, I don't know. The whole Gawker thing is just very bizarre because, like you said, Brian, we were talking about this earlier, and I think you put it on platformers. Like they've been using the same template for every one of their sites since Lord knows how long, but they built
just have one site.
Yeah, for one, or you could just I don't know, because the last time they did it, the reason why Kotaku was so popular is it was one, it would load pretty quick, right? I mean, and then you got all the information quickly. Like, that's what it was. I mean, I went there every day just to see what they were talking about, just to see if kind of we were on the right track with our stuff, and we were. And now you know, I guess we can fly that nest because now we'll use like joystick or someone to see the hot pulse of
rock paper shotgun.
Yeah. I'm just kind of impressed that they managed to make something more cluttered and harder to use than Gamma Sutra. I felt that was the high watermark for completely
Ars Technica.
Logs.
Ars Technica is like that too. Like,
yeah,
it's, there's so much stuff. I mean, they have great content, but God, they have like it's an inventory of it.
Well, at least Gamma Sutra works like a regular, like you think a regular website does. I don't know. Kotaku just like took us back in time with frames. You're totally right.
You're
and hold on, do me a favor.
Yeah.
Right, I'm kind of there's no MIDI on the Kotaku site.
Really okay, go to kotaku.com if you dare. All right. And then up along the top, along the right frame, click the little flame thing that says popular.
Okay.
Okay, now mouse along the things on the right and tell me how this makes any sense. Like, it says, those are the numbers, never mind. I see it makes sense now, but see, I saw the numbers on the right, it says like 234, and I mouse over it, and then it would switch to a 5 and say 275 visitors. Never mind, I stand corrected. But then if you mouse over the third one, it says 213 visitors, but then if you hover, it pops up and says 150 visitors.
Yeah, no, I think... Because the worst part about it is
broken.
They are embedding ads everywhere.
Like, yes.
It takes so long to load.
That was the one thing I first noticed. I guess they did something about it or AdBlock updated. But when I first loaded it with in Firefox and I had AdBlock on, the entire right frame just didn't load at all.
So bizarre.
See, did they also break Deadspin? Because I actually like Deadspin. Let's see here.
What's Deadspin?
It's owned by the Gawker Group, but they mainly do sports. Well, they only do sports.
Just, okay.
Yep. Deadspin is also now completely useless.
I liked IO9 and never again.
Hope you like gigantic images and not text.
They have to change it. They have to change it.
So is this how like iPad people have to live? Is this the horrible future we have?
This is what they caused. Like the iPod has single-handedly like Imran. Didn't you say that many more people have a personal computer?
Yeah, I mean, I don't see why you would go target the iPad market. There's maybe, let's be optimistic and say 22 million iPads, as opposed to, like, let's say 100 million PCs.
Yeah, exactly.
And laptops.
That was the goal behind what Wired is doing right now. They're just basically just producing content entirely for the iPod because they want to get on the ground floor and say, oh, this is the big new thing. And maybe it is, but, you know.
Well, that's every site worth its shit has a mobile version and a regular version.
Right.
Yeah, you have a Palm version, and that's what's been going on for like 3 years, right? So.
Well, I see, you know, and this kind of plays into my job, and we're kind of going through this thing right now where we're debating, we're moving into maybe making a new website. And really, nowadays, since most smartphones are so powerful that they can read regular web pages fine, it's kind of a weird area. Do you need to make a mobile version? Or I mean, my iPhone can browse most any site perfectly fine. But that said, there are certain things that somebody pulls up on their iPhone, they want quick access to things more than others. So, but yeah, you're right, Imran. Nightshade doesn't have a mobile version. That'll be coming soon. All it will have is just, I don't know.
Well, Nightshade is pretty iPhone friendly as is.
Yeah. Yeah, one of my buddies is really big into Apple stuff, and he said it loaded really well on everything, so...
So we can solve that by just putting more flash on the site.
Yeah. Yes. What we need to do is make an iframe to put the flash
on the side. We need to put each of the kind of sidebar content things in an iframe.
I just remembered something I used to do, like in the, you know, Easy Board, that really old like forum thing. There was a way you could break it and put an iframe as your signature. So what I did whenever I made my first website is I fucking put my entire website in my signature so it would like load up every single time. Oh man, I was such
a
rock star.
That's amazing. I wonder if we can do that on modern day websites.
Oh, so rock star.
I think Kotaku could really take it to the next level with some Fireline GIFs.
The only
maybe
thing would make
a rotating skull.
The
animated GIF is an art form. It really is.
No, that's true.
It's basically sprite work, and you gotta love sprite work.
Yeah, I think the only thing that would make it better is as the site loads, get that Netscape thing where like the planet is turning, and like then the planet would hang up, and then like the shooting star would go and then freeze, and then you're like, oh god, my fucking browser's breaking. You think you like destroy your computer.
Then you open up the door and scream at your brother in the other room who picked up the phone. It's like, you asshole.
Oh man. All right, hold on 1 second. I'm gonna let's see. I'm just checking out. I gotta find this out. Okay, let's see. Browser and analyst and browser
an analyst.
Browser analysis for nitrobeer.com. Let's see. Number one is Chrome with 55%.
Classic.
Pretty good.
Classic.
Number two is Firefox with 40%, just about. And then it drops to Safari with 1.5.
Oh.
IE8 with like 1.25. IE6 with 1%. And then these are all less than 1%. And anyways, it goes down all the way unknown. Opera 8, NS, which I guess is Netscape has 0.08%, and then the very last one is Opera 7 with 0.04%.
Fuck Opera, man. Opera's terrible.
So we can assume that's Blaze Hedgehog who's accessing our site via Netscape, right?
Probably, I think so. And the Opera, I seem to remember Yard Gnome always used to be a big Opera shill. So
wasn't Opera
Opera's good. It's a good mobile. If you don't have like one of those Android phones or iPhones.
Yeah, that's a good browser. But
wasn't that the first one to have tabs, like tabbing stuff?
I think it was back when Firefox was Phoenix.
Yeah, no, that's a good one.
At least that I recollect. But anyways.
Wow, we just went through like a whole development spiel.
Yeah, what are we talking about? What year is
this? This is Nitrobeard, your web development podcast.
Yeah.
Yes. And here with your first CSS tip of the day.
The number one. Did you know that you can color all of your links to be the same on every page?
Don't. Oh, that's right. I just remember that those IE8 users don't see our nice rounded edges because they're not up to the times.
Oh,
IE8 users get what they deserve.
Yeah. It's like they won't hear this, though. They won't hear it. We just have to send a transcript.
They can't even
carry your pigeon.
Yes. Or what's that thing? Did you see? I guess Canada has these bandwidth caps now. And and somebody worked out and even put together a site that is basically cheaper to have somebody in America download what you want, put it on a portable hard drive, and ship it to you than it is to download it in Canada. Yep. So there's a guy actually providing this service.
Smart.
Like for free, I think.
If there's a market for it.
Yeah. No. Yeah. So apparently people in Canada are getting owned with their internet caps.
That terrifies me. And the reason why that terrifies me is if it works. America's next.
Well, apparently the Canadian cabinet is up in arms about this, and they're telling the Canadian version, the FCC, that either they fix this or the legislature is going to fix this.
Ooh.
So at least for the politicians are standing there realizing it's kind of dumb too.
Whenever you say it like that, it sounds like just a bunch of guy with those hair wigs, like those.
Yeah,
that's what I imagine. Like just rattling, like Richard Nixon.
You have herpes. Herpes.
Pretty sure Canadians don't talk like Germans.
No, I don't even know what accent this is.
Right, it's like,
yeah, I don't think it's like German.
Vaguely Russian, vaguely German.
It's like Hungarian. I don't know.
Like Borat's German cousin. I don't know what's going on.
You have herpes.
You have to name that. That can be our new mascot.
Internet.
Yeah, where are we going?
Let's jump into some reader mail questions.
Yes.
Not even mail because I have to mention we have a email address set up, beardcast@nitrobeard.com. You can get to it from the Beardcast page on nitrobeard.com.
Awesome.
And yeah, so you can email, I don't know, I guess whatever you want, really. You can send us questions, topics, please no video recordings.
No, put video recordings. I will. All
right, fine. Video recordings.
I'll put them on the Blip TV archive.
We'll
make money off of it. Let's do this.
We'll make money off your misfortune.
No personal pictures.
Or a lot of them. I don't mind.
Or a lot of them, yeah. It could go either way, really.
Okay, label your personal pictures.
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
But yeah, make the file name what is in the image. Mom, don't look here. Like, yeah. Okay, so so I posted up on the platformers and got some questions from a couple of people. And the first one from Epiphyte, who we've had on the show before, he asks, will Battlefield 3 have slump jumping?
That's actually a good question.
Because... No, because I know back when I used to play Battlefield 1942 in college, they had a prone. And then I don't know what the first Battlefield game to take that out was. But I know when I first loaded up Bad Company 2, when Twisted Jester gifted that to me, I was like, where's my prone? I can't, what? How do I hide?
No more dolphin diving, son.
But, well, see, I never did that. I use it as a legitimate tactic.
So for the neophytes who don't pay attention to stuff like COD and actually play real video games, could you please define slump jumping for me? And ignore the horrible insult.
dolphin diving. This is a very deep question. I mean, we could have an entire podcast about what slump jumping entails.
Ooh, it's true.
Well, just an outline. You know, there has to be
My interpretation is dolphin diving. Is basically that the act of
slump jump. Yeah, slump jumping in regards to Battlefield is probably dolphin diving, where a person would run around a corner, then jump and immediately go prone, so they would look like they were flying through the air like Superman, and shoot you in the face
The reason why they call it dolphin diving is you can do that back to back, and there's no reset time on the frames, so your body can like flop around like you're a beached dolphin, like and then
also every time you did it would go
yeah.
Oh, this is amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yes. So I don't know. I know just recently they put out a bunch of stuff about Battlefield 3. I didn't read all of it. I don't know. I saw a teaser that had their usual purple orange montage and still images.
Side of his body's on fire.
And I thought I don't know. I saw somebody somebody linked to Twitter or something from one of the devs saying we'll be looking at prone or I don't know. I can't remember. Yeah. So I can't factually answer that question, Epiphyte. But Imran Khan can't.
That is pun of the year. Oh my god!
Just let it play.
I didn't. That was.
Oh, that moment is so good. I want to have sex with it.
That was completely unintentional. But man, that's got to be a new feature on Who can? Yeah,
but Imran Khan.
I don't know. Answer that question, Imran.
I've got no fucking clue, but I'm going to say yes.
Okay, yes. Battlefield 3 will have slump jumping. Whether you like it or not, even if they don't have a prone, there will be some sort of slump jumping involved.
Nitro Beard exclusive.
I think what we need to do is get with a member of some kind of U.S. Special Forces or perhaps the Russian Spetsnaz and ask him if this is a legitimate combat cut. Right. If it is, then they have to put it in COD, right?
It would be great to have the video of, you know, this badass like Russian military guy who's like, you know, he's going through all these bushes and then all of a sudden he runs and like dives around. I mean, it's every movie. But it would be funny to see him do it in quick succession. Concession would be like if he was ordering food in the process. Right.
I'd like extra butter on my popcorn, please.
Hold on. Boom. All right. Next question is from Blytor, or as we lovingly call him, Blytor. And he asks, talk about how awesome I am.
Okay.
Let me begin. Because I was actually victim of Lytor's Secret Santa this year. And once you get past the part where he gave me enslaved out of pure contempt, he did really, really well. He also got me Brutal Legend for the PlayStation 3, although I'm not sure if that was also intended as an insult. But at the end of the day, he did give me God Hand for PlayStation 2, which I've been looking for. Which, depending on your point of view, is also a horrible, horrible insult upon my character, but I've been looking for that. So, yeah, I think Lytor does pretty well.
I guess it depends which aspect of Lytor we're
talking
about.
There's many faces.
Real life, yeah, he's a nice guy. He's, you know, he gifts and stuff, but if you're playing a co-op game with Lytor, which allows friendly fire because will find the most spectacular ways to down you all.
And see,
I remember a couple of weeks ago, Brian, Lytor, and I were on a Left 4 Dead team. I think Behemoth was like the other person there. And Brian brings this into a chat, is like, okay, we may have to kill Lytor. Can I have your support for this? And we're all like, yes, absolutely.
Well, because he did something on like the first map that totally boned us. And I was like, okay. Okay, look, if Leiter picks up a Molotov or shows any indication of being Leitor, then we down him, we shoot him and incapacitate him, and then we just run for it.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, that's a fair tactic. If you're running from a bear,
this is like a WikiLeak right here. Like, this information has not been revealed other than between me, Imran, and Behemoth.
Yeah. See, I personally think that Leitor is, like we said, a man of many faces. All of which were burned by myself whenever I would throw a Molotov onto him.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
You know? So, you know, never change, but change.
Right. Never change. Like, well, Leitor definitely makes it interesting. You never knew you had another enemy in the game until you played a co-op.
It's like the AI is fine. You know, I mean, they're all out to get you, but whenever there's someone on your team working for the AI. That's a whole different nightmare.
Right, yeah, exactly. He's like the seventh special infected, or I don't know how many special infected
different. They have to edit. I bet if we send it to Gabe, he'll put it in.
Right, oh yeah. the new Leitor special infected.
He'll make it a weekly.
All he does is just like smack the Molotov out of your hand and you just drop it and burn your entire team.
Right. Or it could be one of those weekly things where the Molotovs do like half damage and then they call out Leitor in the show notes or something.
Right, yeah, it'd be amazing. Exactly, yeah. We're experiencing a little bit of technical difficulty here. We lost Mark Bradshaw. He's probably fighting a bear right now.
Yeah.
We lost audio, though.
Trying
we
to
have is
call
video.
Him back.
Oh, God.
Trying to, oh, dear. I think it was all that Kotaku talk. I think Brian Crescento finally got...
Kotaku broke the internet.
Him and Brian Ashcroft. Well, no, Brian Ashcroft was too busy looking at Japanese porn.
Is he the guy with the... No, that's Crescent, the hair guy.
Yeah, that's Gaming Jesus. Yeah. That's Mark McDonald's name, but
Jesus.
I'll give it to Crescent.
Crescent. All right, I think Mark...
Is he here?
Yes.
Oh, hello. Welcome back, sir.
Okay. Got him back.
There are many theories about what happened to you.
there are.
Yeah, I have no idea what that was about. Disconnected. I have no idea who I'm actually getting my internet from.
It's probably like, Canada.
The guy gives it to some unnamed, I assume, service providers, and I get internet out of it. So I don't know.
Huh. All right. Moving on. Next question. What question do we got?
Let's see.
Are we still on the Leitor question?
Oh yeah. Did you have another thing to add for Leitor? Yeah,
unless you have anything else.
I do have one thing to add for Leitor. He's tall. So if depending on your opinion on tall people,
he's got that. Tall. Okay. Yeah. Mm. I've seen. Okay, let's see. The next question we have is from Blaze Hedgehog, who I recently put up a rad video game mix that he did on.
Also, he did his track or something. His fan game is out. His Sonic game.
Did he make a new one?
Well, it was the one from way back when. I think he had a hard drive failure that he swore took all of the stuff for. Damn. It, but then he brought it back out. It came out like a week ago, I think.
Good for him.
Pretty cool. Good.
That means that he probably makes the only good Sonic games these days.
It's true.
Okay, let's see. So he asks, this is verbatim, if you could be any type of dinosaur, how many would you be?
That's deep. Because you see, you start thinking about one side of it, and then you have to The specifics don't matter. You know what I mean?
It's like a question with iframes.
Yeah. Or that bus question that we had about the Smurfs and the bus or whatever.
I don't remember that question, but okay.
But the bus flying down the hill and you could kill one
guy.
Oh, right,
yes. The trains, yeah. In like San Francisco or something, yeah.
Is this how many individual types of dinosaurs you could be or how many?
No. I think how many, like what type and then how many of that type would you be? You see what I mean? Like, yes, I like the Velociraptor, right. And I want to be 37 of them.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
No, I think you're right. Let's see. Clever girl. Mark, why don't you – do you have a
question? All right. I'm going to cheat a little bit here. I'm going to say
– Are you
going
to ask Wolfram Alpha or whatever?
let's see here. I'm going to say I need to think of a name of a bird because, technically speaking, birds are dinosaurs and birds are still around and enjoying the benefits of non-extinction. So I'm going to say an eagle, an enormous freaking American eagle.
An eagle.
Yeah. That's
crying.
Spirit. Yeah.
Yeah. Soaring the spirit of America eagle.
Yep.
Yeah. The one that the one that is infused enough of the most with the American spirit.
Shortly stand before, tall you know, with the man, soaring Eagle spirit.
I tell you, there's some great American Eagle animated GIFs. I mean, not like the company. I mean, like an eagle with an American flag, and there are some really great GIFs. Yeah.
Greatest American. Okay. That should be the new Nitro Beard logo.
Wait, I got the eagle one. G.I. Joe, the Native American guy. That dude's eagle. He had like three animals. I want to be his eagle. There you go. That's the dinosaur I want to be.
Eaglebeard.com. I wonder if that exists. Yeah,
I bet Ted Nugent owns like 10 eagles.
It does now.
Eaglebeard. No, Eaglebeard.com does not exist.
Ted Nugent owns eagles for the sole purpose of mating eagles so he can have eagles to shoot and then eat.
Right, and eat, yeah, for a cook. Man. Imran, do you have an answer for this question?
I would say, I can't give you a specific number, but as many T-Rexes as it takes to build a T-Rex mech.
A mech made out of T-Rexes. Right. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, the problem with that is the little hands are tiny. It would take lot of tech. T-Rexes.
You wouldn't be able to brush your teeth.
Each hand would be like a T-Rex.
Right, a T-Rex with T-Rex for hands.
Right. You wouldn't be able to do stuff like fold your clothes, though, because your hands are so tiny they can't come together.
No, you'd need to hire a maid.
Absolutely. Even the T-Rex mech wouldn't be able to do it, I don't think. The hands are so tiny.
He could fold other T-Rexes. Wes?
I think the T-Rex mechs would definitely be one of those that just had the big cannon in the mouth and not actually, you know, have, like, guns to hold. So, yeah.
Well, the cannon would shoot more T-Rexes.
Oh, that's badass, yeah.
That is
okay, yeah, T-Rex.
Wait, more T-Rex mechs or actual T-Rex dinosaurs?
Well, it starts out as T-Rex mechs, and it, like, goes down as you deplete ammo.
You could probably fold your T-shirt with bullets.
Yeah. See, no, but now you're talking about, like, a vending machine that spits out vending machines. You know what I mean? Like you're talking about something so big.
Well, so I think there's an entire page of weapons that don't exist but should, such as shotguns that shoot knives and vice versa.
Oh right, knives that shoot shotguns.
Alligators with alligators for arms.
Well, I think a T-Rex could fold clothes, but you'd have to do it with its enormous mouth and do it very carefully and be very slow.
Oh yeah, that's true. Wow, what would mine be? Be one of those, you know, I think I'd try to keep it simple, you know, maybe a brontosaurus, maybe three of them, you know, because
pretty sure the brontosaurus didn't actually exist. That was proven to be several different dinosaurs. You'll have to pick another dinosaur. I'm sorry.
Oh man, but
that's right. Yeah, the brontosaurus doesn't exist.
So wait. So you're saying the brontosaurus was a T-Rex mech? Like that's what it was?
No. The dinosaur was. There were like several different skeletons that scientists eventually figured out. Right. So, that's not
okay. Scientists are really fucking up my childhood.
Yeah, exactly. Let's talk about that for a minute.
The Pluto thing, the brontosaurus thing.
Pluto's just a moon. It's like no, Pluto's a planet. Pretty sure.
Okay, can't. Did we talk about this before? There's this video on YouTube from this comedian talking about the best dinosaur. Have you guys seen that?
I don't think so.
Oh my god, it's great. Hold on. All right, I'm going to try to...
And no one's allowed to pick that answer as their answer, by the way.
Oh, I can't pick the answer from the video?
No.
Okay.
Some guy already picked it.
That's true, he did. But he has reasons for why the others are the worst. Okay, all right, okay. All right, okay, I don't think this is his answer, but if you go to... Holy shit. If you go to thebestdinosaur.com... Just go there right now. That's what I'm going with. Stegosaurus, baby.
Stegosaurus.
Go to thebestdinosaur.com. It is pretty. I do remember having very fond. I associated with the Stegosaurus when I was a kid, because I too had
tiny brain.
A small brain, yes.
I wonder how much he spends on hosting for this.
Yeah, I don't know. I wonder how much thebestdinosaur.com is worth.
Millions.
I wonder if he runs like a empire of the best. Let's see, thebestbeard.com. Nope, doesn't exist. All right,
maybe we should redirect.
Maybe we should get on this.
We're gonna do.
Before you broadcast this, because otherwise some asshole is going to take it as soon as they hear this.
That's true. Yeah. Okay. All right. So that was the third question for Blaze. Okay.
Wait a minute. We still don't have answers from Brian or Tom.
Nice one.
No,
Brian.
I gave an answer. My answer is Stegosaurus. And hold on. Let me. The best dino. Well, I got a Stegosaurus and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 16, because that's how many things on the Stegosaurus's back there are. So I'd be 16. so that would be like 16 times 16, which is that's whatever that is.
Yeah.
It is pretty big. It's a lot of machine. Yes, I would take my Stegosaurus and roll them into balls and make this giant gear that would help the T-Rex mech. I don't know.
Oh, this is all coming together.
Okay. All right. Let's see. All right. We have a question from Dragon, who asked us an odd question before. I can't remember what it was. Something involving purple and maybe dinosaurs as well. But anyways, his question is, I would like to hear your enactment of how Brian Jacquez would describe the bounteous feast at his wake. Okay. First off, I just have to have a moment of silence for Brian Jacquez. I used to read the Redwall books a lot as a kid, and so we're sad to see him go. And he suggested, Epiphyte suggested that I do this talk like a mole as such.
Okay.
That was it. Moles don't fucking talk. All right.
Slamming.
Right. All right. I liked that, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's Brian Bolita with a Shakespearean reenactment. Brian,
Old News Bolita. What was my?
Yeah, Old News Bolita. That's right. Here's Old News Bolita. This fucking French thing.
Enjoy. Okay, Exit has like a 4-part question here. George Cavalines, who we've had on the show before.
Yeah.
Okay, and I think a couple of these, or maybe just one, is in relation to Red Dead Redemption, which actually I played the other day. I went over to my friend's house and he had it on PS3, and I had been, I knew I wanted it. And I was just kind of waiting, kind of hoping to hear about a PC version. And now I played it, and I was like, God damn it, I really want this game. So I don't know, I might just borrow it for PS3 or something. But okay, so his first question is, cougars, meow or menace?
Oh, I'll...
Menace.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, what kind of cougars are we talking about? Are we talking about RDR
cougars?
Doesn't matter,
both kinds are menace.
What's the bar cougar?
No, yeah.
Both kinds.
They're both a menace. Both of them.
Okay. RDR cougars are a menace. Bar cougars, not a problem.
Hey. All right. Next question from George Cavalines is, Steam, you don't know Jack, not having online multiplayer. How balls is that?
What? Yeah, that's
pretty balls.
That's the worst.
That's quite balls. Yeah.
That is super balls.
Super balls.
Super balls are great.
Multi-balls? Yeah. No, balls are great. It's very balls.
Yeah, because, I mean, You Don't Know Jack is a party game, and what are you going to do, share a keyboard?
I think it's got 2-player local co-op.
Yeah, what the fuck does that mean?
How is it not even 4-player? Like, it was 4-player when I was a kid.
Yeah.
We went backwards. How did I have 4-player? I thought they had 4 players on the Giant Bomb Quick Look. Was it only 3 players?
All the console versions do,
And you're telling me that we have the technology to do, like, Call of Duty nanosecond, like, clicks of a pixel, like, headshots, yet we can't hit a fucking 1 key on the keyboard and have it ring in our answer before someone else across the internet? Like, come on now.
What?
Huh?
Yeah.
For multiplayer. Like, you could do 4-player.
Oh, right, yeah. Yeah.
Easy. Open up a chat room. Super easy.
Well, I think the Xbox Live version at very least has multiplayer.
See, that's even worse. How did the Xbox get it and the PC didn't?
Because people hate PC games. I mean, what developers hate PC games.
Yeah, PC gaming is dead.
Yeah, Steve
Malone that's why the new Kotaku.com works on iPo. Wait.
It doesn't work, period.
All right, this next question is, King's Bounty Armored Princess, is it armored enough?
Yes.
I take a look at this. Can we reference the King's Bounty Armored Princess? I've not seen it.
I'm gonna pull
it. It's on Steam. I believe it's downloadable content.
Okay.
It's a really good game, so I'm gonna go with yes.
That's what I hear, yeah. All right, I'm gonna look like a screenshot or something.
Yeah.
Actually, I see a distinct lack of armor, which isn't necessarily a bad thing.
The armor's in your heart.
The armor's in her heart. Okay. I can dig it. All right. And anyways, on like the second post on kingsbounty.com is a guy with a nice beard. So, yeah, it's armored enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm going to say not enough armor.
Oh.
Not enough armor?
There's clearly a big open space right on her chest.
Yeah,
and below, and at her torso, and on her thighs, and at the neck, and basically everywhere where you'd need armor, that chick's got skin instead of armor. So
yeah, those are some pretty vulnerable areas. That said, to tie it in with the previous question about how balls and Steam, her hand is on a ball.
Yeah, it is. Oh, third grade jokes never get old. No, they never get old.
No, they never do. Okay, all right, Archdemon. And all right, get this. Apparently the Archdemon's name is Baal, B-A-A.
Yeah. That's a pretty good one. That's a good punchline.
Yeah, that is pretty good. Okay, all right. And George Cavaline's last question is right. Inferior to left?
Well, I guess that depends on what we're defining left and right as.
Well, and it
not get to the political spectrum, you know, which I don't think we should touch at this on this
point. 10-foot pole. But I say it depends on your perspective.
Well, we live in America where we drive on the right side.
Yep.
It's true. But and I'm right-handed. I use my right hand most of the time. That said, WSAD on my keyboard.
I was about to say, are you about to talk about a stranger handy? Is that what you're about to talk about?
The stranger? No.
Give yourself a stranger. Okay.
My arms they can't fall asleep, so I can't.
if we're going to take this in video gaming terms, I'm going to definitely say left is better than right, because left is where your hand falls on for the arcade stick. So that's what you want.
Yeah, and that would line up with Brian's deal too about the WSAD.
Yeah, but you know what?
Did you guys see that weird shell controller thing?
Oh fuck!
Oh, for the one-handed.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they don't advertise it as for people with disabilities. Right. They advertise it as
get the bleeding edge.
You can touch buttons in half a second.
Yeah.
I'm I can already kind of touch buttons.
I know. Does this need to be faster?
It's like a pulley and lever system. Fast. It's like the opening of Half-Life 2 whenever you have to plug in the power generator to teleport around. It's like doing that constantly.
What, you guys don't use hydraulic jacks when you're playing video games?
Yeah, a lever and pulley system.
It's like power steering for your controller.
Oh man, I'd love that for GTA. But no, go ahead.
Okay, all right. So those were exist questions. All right. Next up, so at the last minute, I saw that Ether Patrick Bonaducci had posted on the forums. He's the great artist guy who you heard on the last one, who's doing some great beer portraits for us. Mm-hmm.
Very cool. I'd like to spring up. He's also drawing some beards for us. I know you mentioned that, but there is somebody who's not drawing beards for us, and we're not going into that. But he was the guy who did the last questions. So you go on. Thank you.
Yeah. We can do that. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's call him out. All right. So I asked him to ask a question. And I have to go with the first thing he said, and he said, what kind of question should I ask? So, given the opportunity again, what kind of questions should Ether ask in the future?
Oh, okay.
Sexually explicit
questions. Okay. Very. Okay.
Even though we're uncensored on Apple, I want to have to censor it. You know what I mean?
It's a minute long beep.
Let's see. What kind of he should probably ask a question about.
Well, definitely not about video games. Nah, fuck that.
That's overplayed.
Yeah. Web design? No. Typography. No. Typography? Yes. Typography questions?
Quantum mechanics, maybe.
Typography, not topography.
String theory. I could go into a little bit of string theory. I can appreciate that. Yeah.
NASCAR.
Yeah, I can talk about NASCAR.
All right.
We can talk about NASCAR.
Dick Wadhams?
Dick Wadhams. Yeah. Good old Dick Wadhams. Yes, this is the name of a senator somewhere or something?
He's like the leader of an RNC somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, his name is Richard Wadhams.
Parents did not think that through.
No, not at all.
Oh, man.
Okay, so that was, I don't know, you can ask about video games, but that's not really our forte, so.
Yeah. Back in a different life, maybe, but.
Maybe he should ask Usk. Usk.
Wow. Ask. You're just making all sorts of words up today.
No, he should ask us to draw bearded video game characters.
Ooh.
We should post that. We should each draw a bearded video game character and of Ether's choice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so Ether, if you hear this, in the comments for this Beardcast when it's posted, post each video game, what video game character each of us should draw.
And then who should draw which one. Yeah.
Right, exactly. And we'll do that. So that should be pretty hilarious.
I'll absolutely do that.
Oh, man, I'm excited now. Okay, all right.
I have
last question.
Yeah, I have a question after that. But, yes, last reader question.
Yes, the last reader question is from Epiphyte again. It's not really a reader question. He kind of had a suggestion. He wanted us to talk about Steam customer service, like return policies. And he says that is a good meaty topic. But let's keep it brief because I know I think it was Big Knife. He bought
Chaos Soldier.
Chaos Soldier. Oh, okay. He bought otherwise known as T-Dot. Pick a name. I should talk. So he bought, like, You Don't Know Jack. I guess it didn't say, you know, multiplayer. Maybe he didn't know, and it didn't have online multiplayer. So he was severely disappointed. So I guess he's trying to find out about Steam Returns, if at all possible.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess it will kind of be like if you return it within, I don't know, 24 hours. That said, if you've got like 24 hours of playtime, then I don't think they should take that back. But if you have like, you know, under an hour or 30 minutes of playtime, then I don't know. I actually have no experience with it.
Yeah, I mean, this really depends because I come at it from like an actual brick and mortar. Like I do this every day, is do returns on products. The only thing, this is literally the only negative I can see with digital distribution, is Steam does not have to give you a refund.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, because technically they have the out in saying, well, the feature was not listed on the what came with the game. So technically he shouldn't have expected it. I know that's a harsh thing to say, but that's exactly what the PR would tell you. They have your money. I mean, you never know. I say try it. I say go for it. I mean, Steam is very good in the same way that like Nintendo back in the day. I broke my GBA and I like mailed them an actual physical letter and I was like, I broke my GBA, brr brr brr, and they sent me a goddamn new one. Swear to God, they sent me a sealed new GBA. Mind blowing. Yeah. But yeah. I've heard Steam give refunds.
I thought I had heard that, but I'm looking right now. I just Googled it, and it says on the Steam support side, question, I bought a game with my credit card through Steam and either don't like it or don't want it anymore. Can I get a refund? Answer, as with most software products, we will not offer refunds for purchases made online as outlined in the software license.
Right.
To be fair about that, I mean, it's not like you could go to Best Buy and tell the clerk, yeah, I don't need this anymore, I don't like it, they're not
going
to
do exactly. Yeah, so. Exactly. Yeah.
Especially with PC products.
If you buy a game from Best Buy and you take it home and before you open it, you decide you don't want it,
right?
You're free to return it.
That's true.
Even if once you click that transaction accepted thing on Steam, it's yours.
Yeah.
You can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
And I know this brings up the topic of they were talking for a while, weren't they, about doing a trade-in system? With Steam?
Maybe. I can't remember. There was some digital distribution service that was doing that.
Yeah.
But if you email Gabe, he might send you a giant red polo shirt.
Also a donut.
Also, yes, a donut.
He'll use the shirt to wrap the donut.
Right, yes, exactly.
Oh, man.
Oh, shirt donut. Oh, delicious.
Shirt nut. Wait, that's the wrong thing.
Wow. Right. That's a whole different...
That's the whole box of Reefs versus the thing we were talking about earlier. Okay, quick vote.
Okay. My question? I have a question. What, you guys saw the Dragon Age 2 gameplay footage, right?
No.
Yep.
Oh, okay. The latest one? No, I have not seen that yet.
Okay. Well, Imran, what we can kind of give them kind of a rough breakdown. Imran, what did you think of it?
It looks like... I can see what they're trying to go for. They keep using the buzzwords visceral gameplay.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
So they really, really want people to say, this is not just for RPG nerds. You can play this.
Oh, God.
Yep. Okay.
But, I mean, honestly, it looks like a whole lot more spectacle with the same basic thing, which still doesn't really interest me that much.
How much of a difference does it look between, like, ME1 and ME2? Can you quantify that?
It's,
you know, kind of want to think about?
It's actually pretty similar. Like, that type of jump is pretty similar. Like, the combat in Dragon Age 2 looks like Kingdom Under Fire.
Like a Dynasty Warriors game?
Sort of. Like, it really starts to remind me of that. Because every time you hit a button, you do something.
There's two battle systems, basically. There's the console battle system and the PC battle system. And the PC battle system is only available on PC. Oh,
great.
Yeah,
it's going to be great.
I don't think we're going to know how well it's balanced towards either one until we actually get the final game.
Right.
But it looks like they put more work onto the console battle system, which does look more like an action RPG.
Go ahead.
If it's action RPG, that's not a problem. The problem is if they try to copy like a 3D brawler, like say Devil May Cry, because we've seen that's way more difficult to get right.
It's, it's closer to that, but I think the worst thing about it is they're mixing that with like, well, you can still pause and pick your spell through a radio menu. So, like, they're trying to have both things, and you can't. You have to pick one. But I brought it up because I wanted to tell this story, and it made me giggle while I was watching it, and I already put this on the forums. But so
just sit right back and
So, you know, Brad Shoemaker from Giant Bomb is sitting down with the main lead designer of Dragon Age 2. And they're playing it, and he's like, yeah, tell me about what's going on. You know, Brad's like, tell me all about it, man. This looks cool. Then he's like, oh, yeah, we're in this dwarven dungeon, right? And we're going to go fight this big boss, and it's covered in souls and all this other stuff. So they go, and they meet the final boss, and it's a big rock demon, right? It's a demon, and he's on fire.
I think I remember when you put it. Okay.
He's a demon, and he's on fire. And the dialogue system comes up. And, you know, the main guy from BioWare is like, oh, yeah, new dialogue system. We have little icons to show how angry you'll be, which right then I rolled my eyes a little. I was like, great. And then so he's talking about it, and he was like, oh, yeah, you're just talking with the demon now. Let's talk with this demon. And the demon's like, we're a tribe of hungry soldiers thirsting for the blood of humans. You know, that type of thing. And I was like, yeah, all right, that's an RPG thing, sure. And then he goes, the main guy from BioWare says, oh, our really exciting thing that we're really excited to announce is you can speak with other people in your party during a dialogue tree to figure out what they have to say on the fly. And I was like, okay, that sounds kind of cool. Like, that's actually cool. Kind of cool idea. So it's like, let's ask the mage. She's our demon expert.
Oh boy.
Use the exact word demon expert. And then it cuts over to her, and here's this like woman half dressed, like standing there dead eyed and
armored. Right?
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, what do you think? And then she goes, I think it's a demon, and I think it's hungry for something.
Human blood.
And I was like, are you kidding me? Like, are you kidding me right now? I had to pause it, and I couldn't stop laughing. I was like, this is their writing now? They just rewrite the same thing? I think he's a demon. Well, yeah, sure he's a demon, because he's fucking 30 foot tall and on fire.
And then, like, that said, in Dragon Age, 30 foot tall fire guy can mean a lot of things, so you jumping conclusions.
Oh, that's what I'm worried about, man. Like,
30-foot fire guys?
Yeah, in real
made
life.
Made of T-Rexes?
Coming back with the mecha. That's right.
I just like that the mage lady who's the demon expert is about as useful on her subject as Deanna Troi is in The Next Generation.
Yeah.
Boom!
Sing it. 1992-era jokes coming at you.
Not a prop.
I think Dragon Age 2 is going to be weird because they say they've been working on it since before Dragon Age 1, which either means they haven't and they're lying and it's been a really short time, or it means they have no idea what was bad about Dragon Age 1 and aren't going to fix those things.
Yes, that's what I'm worried about. So, they're going to keep the bad.
But I think it's going to get better reviews simply because it's more console-oriented.
Yep. Yeah. I'm
fucking consoles.
Automatically. Well, not even that, because I don't understand where they're getting their – I don't know.
Well, there was a weird quote from one of the BioWare producers today saying they want to go for the Call of Duty audience.
Yeah,
which is, fantastic. I suppose, kind of laudable, because that's a lot of people.
Right.
But you're fucking crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. Because that's not even the type of content that the Call of Duty fan base wants. You know what I mean? Like, how many... Oh, man, I picked up that new Call of Duty and that new Tom Clancy book. By the way, I picked up the new R.A. Salvatore, and it's great. Like, no, that doesn't work like that.
Bro, check out this fucking flying sword.
You see that mana drop I did on the Magic the Gathering?
Oh, you just iced me, dog.
Oh, fuck, man.
It's like putting every movie out going specifically for the Transformers audience.
Yeah. Which is,
right. I mean, there's obviously a lot of people there, but those people might want to see different things without you having to make it your movie like Transformers.
Coming soon from Aronofsky, Black Swan.
Get down! Actually, oh, fuck, what movie did I see? There was a trailer for something, some action movie coming out, and it may have been Thor. I can't remember. I don't remember. Anyways, and the actual like last line in the trailer was somebody yelling, "Get down," which is just like a joke at this point. Like, right. that's the thing that everybody, get down.
It's like, who says that? But we'll take a quick break. I think after we come back.
Right, hold on. One last question. Okay. This is direct from rockpapershotgun.com. Okay, it's just a headline on there. But okay, last question. Will Bulletstorm murder your children?
Yes.
Oh, did you guys see that news piece from Fox News?
Terrifying.
We're not going to go into too much depth about it.
No, but I want to point out one thing is later in the article, they were trying to get a comment from somebody, so they just called up like the head of Warner Brothers Video Game Entertainment Division, and they had this long paragraph describing his job, and his only quote was, "I have no comment."
I have no comment. it was great.
He called out that story in particular.
I love all these things that are like, this video game is violent and it's terrible and your children should not play it. And I'm like, well, you know what? Exactly. They shouldn't fucking play it.
Yeah.
if you're worried about this game having an effect on your kid, don't let your fucking kids play it.
Exactly, man.
I'm sure you have something to say about this, Wes. You probably see – you even had a story a while ago about, you know, some lady coming in with a kid and, I'm buying the Grand Theft Auto 4 for my 9-year-old son.
Yeah. All day, every day. And then the parents get upset with you whenever you tell them, I don't know how to raise my kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get that shit. And I'm like, I hope you guys die in a car crash. Like, that's exactly how I feel every single day.
Oh, hold on.
If we're going to do this, it's like, okay, so they're going to get stuff that, you know, you're selling the – not selling, like, Grand Theft Auto 5. Well, let's not also sell, like, right next to the SpongeBob SquarePants games.
Right.
That might be an issue. It's like, if you go to Barnes & Noble, they don't have, like, the erotica and thriller section right next to Dr. Seuss. They kind of spread that shit
right
out.
Right next to Snooki's book.
Yeah, they kind of don't do that. So there might be a reason why people keep mistaking, like, our industry for children's games, because they're sold, like, on the same fucking rack.
You can buy them at Toys R Us. I think Best Buy's
breaking them up in genre now, which is progressive, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you can buy them at Toys R Us. You walk in and it's right next to, like, the kids' keyboards.
Oh, no, it's great. You can buy this at the Nintendo World store. You can just walk in and say, hey, I want to buy Mad World. Yeah, sure, whatevs.
Yeah, here you go. Enjoy.
Oh, God. Yeah. Okay, so we'll bulletstorm one of your children. Almost certainly.
We'll bulletstorm your children. Yes.
Yes. Yes. But all right.
God bless Fox News for giving them the best box quote they could ever hope for. You know what I mean? If I was Epic, or if I was People Can Fly, I would put that Fox News calls us the most controversial game ever made. Like,
yeah, this works way better than the Dead Space 2 commercials.
Oh, right, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, I can't even remember his name. Who was the video game guy? Tom.
Yeah, Gabe Newell.
Yes, Jack Thompson. Thank you.
No,
man, he's such an afterthought now. I couldn't even remember his name.
Oh, he'll come back.
He'll come back probably. Hopefully, I hope he comes back.
He's there to give quotes to guys like Fox News, but, you know, otherwise he's not relevant unless you're, like, authoring horrible web comics. So it's not horrible. It's not a problem.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, let's take a break.
Yep. Everybody, for us it was kind of an extended break, wasn't it?
It was pretty long, yeah. Actually, for you it may seem like 3 minutes, but we were flying westward, and so for us it was about an hour and a half.
Yeah, it's true. So we are in the future. There has to be some sort of, like, time paradox thing going on. If it's been 3 minutes for them, is it like Inception? We're like five levels deep.
We must go deeper.
Yeah. Time has slowed down, but yeah, we're back. We had one question that we kind of overlooked. We didn't have our browsers open while we were recording the first segment, but let's see. Where is it at? I need to bring it up. Should have done this
before. You were not prepared for this.
I was not. You are not prepared.
My body is ready.
That's my favorite.
Can I tell you guys how much I love that?
That's my favorite picture.
The whole my body is ready thing. It's great. Especially the one with Reggie Fils-Aimé.
Yeah, his face is just so unsettling.
There's another really good one with a close-up of an Ewok. It's fantastic.
Is it the one where he's petting the child?
No, 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 no. That one's creepy. It's just a close-up of the creepy Ewok face with "my body is ready."
All right. Okay, here it is. It's from our good friend Sparkster from theplatformers.net, and he asks what we think of Shadows of the Damned, the Goichi Suda, or Suda 51 as he's known over here to all the cool kids, and Shinji Mikami. Is that his name?
Shinji Mikami.
Yeah, Shinji Mikami. I'm starting to mix people. I'm thinking of Yushin Okami, the MMA fighter. but and it's published by EA, by Grasshopper Studios. What do we think of it? We just watched the trailer. Like, his question was honestly the first I've heard of it in a while. So
let's see. I'm getting George Clooney. I'm getting a CD Barr, Quentin Tarantino.
I get more of Benicio del Toro than George Clooney.
Yeah.
I was convinced when they showed the main character that it was Lewis from Resident Evil 4, who probably does need his own game, but that's
it's true.
The only thing I really got out of it.
Or the Scorpion from Just Cause 2.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Mm-hmm.
I think he already does have his own game, so I guess Lewis won on that.
Yeah, he won. As well he should. But it looks pretty cool. Like, it's kind of set up like Resident Evil 4 was, kind of the behind-the-shoulder third/first-person...
With the mind fuck of Suda 51.
Yeah, which I'm actually excited about that. Like, I love Killer 7. I didn't play No More Heroes. I played number 1, but I didn't play number 2.
So. Same with me.
But
2 is not that great.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
I think I'm more of a fan of Suda's games in theory than in practice.
Right. Mm. Yeah, I mean, for me, he is a lot like Kojima. Like, I love Kojima's games. I love them. Like, God bless them. But it's not for everyone. And whenever people are like, "I hate Metal Gear," I'm like, you know what? That's fair. Like, I'm not going to argue it. Like, I'm not going to be one of those rage defensive dudes. But I think Metal Gear and stuff does more right than it does wrong. But I agree, it could probably be better. You would get the same experience out of a book or something.
Yeah. Well, the sort of the games you more experience than you do enjoy. I think, you know, actually getting like, I don't know, fun out of them is something secondary to the fact of just experiencing the mind fuck.
That's how Killer 7 was, totally. Like, I totally recommend it to everybody, but it's not a very good game.
Yeah, I know a lot of like half the time was just like, what the fuck do I do here? What? Why is this guy in a wheelchair? Holy crap, that's a huge sniper rifle.
Yeah, so awesome. But yeah, that was a... That was the last question.
It's good that there's someone like Suda out there making those games.
Yes, exactly.
If I don't necessarily want to play all of them.
I would much rather have, like I've said this before, much rather have my game creators on that side of the fence rather than the used car salesman of like, we're going to give you everything you asked for ever, all in one game, because the fans demanded it. Like, that type of shit.
BioWare model?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, oh, there you go. BioWare. And...
It's also good that Suda he's got a little niche where he doesn't have to spend a lot of money on like any given game. If they actually gave him something with a huge budget, he'd probably sink a studio and no one ever give him like games again.
It's true.
So he's probably in a good space.
Yeah.
Well, this looks like a fairly, I mean, for Suda, a large budget game.
Yeah.
It's an EA like Partners game, so they're putting something behind it.
Yeah, we were joking about Day One DLC.
I'm actually kind of interested in it because it has Akira. God, I'm usually good at pronouncing Japanese last names, but not so much this. Yamaoka, the Silent Hill guy.
Oh, yeah.
The Silent Hill sound director. Is that really saying much?
Yolt.
Well, he does the music for Silent Hill, and Silent Hill's music is. We'll get to this when we get to what I've been playing, but Silent Hill has a great sound.
No, we're not talking about what you've been playing this time, Imran. God.
But no, I mean, hell yeah, sound for Silent Hill. Like, that's the one thing I actually love throughout all of them is the sound design. So if they got the best part of Silent Hill, then hell yeah. But let's see, what were we going to do? We want to talk about what we've been playing now?
Yeah, sure.
Save the handheld stuff for the very end?
We can do what we've been playing in briefs because everyone here wears boxer briefs.
Oh,
right?
Here we go.
I'm sorry, I won't.
This would no. We can, you know what? The gate is open. We can, or the fly is open, as it were. We can talk about this. But before the podcast, we had a very long discussion It was like a 20-minute discussion about boxers or
really?
Briefs.
Really? I thought it was like four lines in this.
No, no,
it was
more
this
boxers
Skype
versus
chat.
Boxers.
I'm just kidding.
Nobody really right. espoused the idea of briefs.
Yeah.
Well, no one's going to stand up for the tidy whitey. Let's be perfectly honest.
Exactly.
The...
No.
But... That's a serial killer.
Yeah. Right. That's a Breaking Bad extra
would,
or something.
Would you fuck me? I'd fuck me.
Now we've turned to a really weird area. But you know what? We can keep going. But okay, for
no, we can't.
But for serious, okay, tidy whiteys, no. Okay, but the boxer brief. It's a bad pun, but I'm a supporter of the boxer brief.
That's right, boxer. I'm with boxer briefs. Yeah. Civil War.
Because I mean, I used to be straight boxers. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, hey, well, you're kind of going commando. You know what I mean?
You used to buy the ones with like the smiley face patterns on them, and the
big elephant trunk on it. Yeah.
You know, I can't deal with the boxers because it feels like you're wearing a pair of shorts underneath, like your pants. So it's really uncomfortable for that. And it's just my mind is just on that.
Well, I will say this: I own both.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I have both boxers and boxer briefs, but I prefer boxer briefs, especially if I'm working out.
Yeah.
I would say even regularly,
I would say,
especially if I'm wearing like some nice slacks or something, boxers just bunch up and they get uncomfortable.
No, that's a good call. Like with pleated pants or something. But I will say my biggest point of advice for the listeners out there, especially if you're about to go off to college, get a few pairs of boxers, because if you go over to a fraternity party and it just turns into like a big hot tub party, you can use those as swimming trunks. See what I'm saying? It works.
That's right. We'll be back with the Nitro Lifecast after these messages.
We'll be right back with relationship advice after these messages with Dr. Drew.
Next up, we'll find out why Mark's addiction to cream soda cost him his relationship.
How far
this,
is too far?
Lies and derision, I would not.
Or wait, no, Mark's. Mark's addiction to buckets of alcohol.
Where you grab it by a handle. Like, you literally drink out of a fucking bucket. Like,
well, you got those margarita tubs, and you just open that up, and you just add
alcohol. Oh, no. Oh, God. Oh, man.
Where were we? All right. So the PSP2 is a thing. Or, sorry, the... what's it called? The
NGP.
NGP, the Neo Geo Portable.
Oh, okay. I see.
Well, Neo Geo Pocket, sorry.
Hi-yo!
Right, yeah. Yeah, what is it, the next generation portable?
Yeah,
what happens when it's the current generation?
That's the thing, and you know, I was like, no, there's no way they can...
It's a game-changer, baby.
Yeah. Wait, wasn't the NGP, like, the next generation PlayStation, also, like, the code word for the PlayStation, what?
Two, at yes. At one point? Yes.
So, yeah, it's their standby.
But also, wasn't MAG a standby? Like massive.
Sure. MAG was a very stupid name, and MAG sold badly.
Yeah,
yeah. Also, MAG was handled by a bunch of incompetent people, which still you gotta look at Sony.
I think we talked about this before you and Imran joined us, Mark. But I think we're talking about how much better it probably or it might have done if it were on PC.
Because
I think you can say that about most any game.
Most
that
multiplayer.
Genre.
Yeah. That's true.
But yeah, there's a. Some that we can kind of do a roundtable thing and get everyone's kind of really quick analysis. But my main thing for bringing up the handheld deal is the internet is insane. Like, I'm sick of half the shit I'm reading.
Look, because the internet is broken. You just gotta go into it and
I know
and you can do it. I know you can do it. I know you. Well, you usually do it, but sometimes. I know it just piled up on you this time, Wes.
It did, man. I broke. I like lashed out. This is my intervention. I lashed out. Even Mr. Imran over here kind of got – we got – no. It was a good discussion, though. It was one of those that took like 7 or 8 full pages of our platformers.net. But people were reading it. They were getting into it. So.
And for the record, I'm actually incredibly excited by this. I really, really want it. But there's a part of my mind that's going – it's going to cost $350.
Yeah.
And I have no idea what they're actually making for it.
Right. And that's completely fair because what they showed is essentially just a tech demo, right? I mean, they showed, oh, look how easy it is to port PlayStation 3 stuff over to this, even if it runs
well, an actual Uncharted game for it. And we know that somebody somewhere, probably Sony Bend, is making a new Uncharted.
Yeah.
Right.
But
right.
The way they demoed it was like, I hope they don't think that's going to be an actual game.
Right.
Because it was like, use the back pad to do this, and now
tilt it forward and back to swing on the rope. I did see that. Yeah.
Exactly. Like,
it's a decent tech demo, but yeah. If they try to actually DS-itis, basically. You know how when the DS first launched, everybody tried to use everything at once?
Yep, exactly. Yeah. That's what I was going to bring up. Yeah. Like, it's going to even out, and it's going to be a solid system. I think where I started getting hung up on stuff is whenever people were, well, the PlayStation Portable 1 was a complete failure, so this one won't be. And that's where I was like, wait, what? The PSP did okay. Like, it didn't do DS numbers, but nothing did.
Well, the PSP was a fantastic portable media device, but as far as something that actually made Sony money, like selling games for,
yeah, well, right. Well, business-wise, I'm sure, yeah, there are tons of things that you could say it for, but if you look at the kind of following that it had, people that love it, you know, and of course there's the whole, which we'll get into later, the whole hacking of it and custom firmware. But man, I got a ton of life out of my PlayStation Portable.
Right.
Sure. I mean,
tons. Yeah.
Well, I mean, but to be fair, I mean, I got a ton of life out of my Dreamcast, and you know, I was one of the biggest Sega supporters.
That's a good point.
Right.
I mean,
that was not a success.
Yeah, it's considered a disaster. But I mean, I honestly don't think the Dreamcast is, even though it sunk a company out of a console making business. I guess my definition of a failure is like. You know, the fucking N-Gage.
Everybody
something.
Hates it, and yeah. People just pan it, you know, across the board.
The thing we do as gamers, we tend to get too caught up in the business of gaming and not, you know, just enjoy like what we get out of gaming.
Yeah. We'll see. That's my. I'm completely opposite. Like I mean, I'm the one that whenever people would bring up like the MPD numbers, I was like, oh boy, here come the MPD numbers. I don't care. Yeah. A lot of gamers do kind of get caught up in looking at numbers and looking at review scores.
I like both sides of this. It's easy enough to separate them. You just a lot of people aren't capable of separating them though. That's the bigger problem.
Yeah.
Some people they invest emotionally in numbers, and right. Some people just don't want anything at all to do with mixing the two.
And those are the people that, you know, post a comment on X video game site review for X game saying, oh, this is some bullshit. You didn't think about this and that and that. And it's just kind of like, hey, opinions.
Yeah, or the people who get really upset at Call of Duty selling really well.
Right, like, right. Oh, it didn't change anything. Or like, yeah, the Madden crowd. Like, I can't fucking believe they release the same game every year and it makes so much money. Like,
yeah, it's not really hurting you that these people are finding this thing fun.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
We're still getting the Bayonettas. We're still getting all these other great games. So why do we have to focus on the stuff that people are enjoying otherwise? Why do we have to worry about the Wii Fits?
And
we're still getting what we want.
And my whole thing was whenever the PSP, whenever you see forum posts like, what handheld should I get? And then you have people recommending the DS. And then other people recommending the PSP, to me, that's a success. Like, just to even be in the same sentence as a Nintendo handheld, because I can't remember who said it, like a pretty established game writer, or however established you could get as a games journalist, but but said that Nintendo... Well, Nintendo, focuses on their handhelds like it's their console, and then their console like it's a handheld. like, the Wii, they're treating like a backhanded stepchild, but... The DS is getting nothing but love and money pumped into it.
I think that's ultimately Sony's problem with the PSP. Is they're always treating it like the younger brother.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Look, for example, at the announced PSP 2 games. They said there's going to be a Killzone, but it's not made by Guerrilla. There's going to be an Uncharted, but it's not made by Naughty Dog.
Right.
I'm sure if it's going to be a Sly Cooper, it's not made by Sucker Punch. But
the only
if you look
game
at Nintendo,
is the new Lumines.
Yeah. But if you look at, like, Nintendo, if there's going to be a new Mario, Miyamoto's going to make it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, a perfect example, we were just talking about what we're excited about, and I said, you know, Radiant Historia. That's made by, like, Chrono Trigger Team and Xenogears Team, like the fucking heaviest hitters in the industry making that type of game specifically for the DS. Like, it's not coming out on anything else. Like, you're getting these rock stars of Japanese game development making one game for the DS. That's mind-blowing. I mean, Sony would never. You know, yeah, you're getting someone that's not Guerrilla. Like, if they're serious about making money or making it a success, you know, even if we do want to keep the two separate, They have to put their big guns in it. They have to show that they're dedicated to it, not, well, we're going to make it easy to port shit over to it. Like, that's going to sell some people, but...
It's funny that you say that the Japanese are concentrating on the DS, because I think Sony's actually trying to go for the opposite tack. They're trying to make it so the Western publishers see the PSP 2 as the third HD console.
Yeah, as a device, right.
So they can just port everything there without having to worry. And
well, they also kind of have to do that in order to keep the game prices down, right? Otherwise, they're going to have to release like $50, $60 games for this thing unless they can just make
it. I don't know that they're not going to do that. I feel like that's definitely a scary possibility that handheld prices are going to go that high.
Wait, so the PSP 2, does it have – is there a disc and any kind of like physical media that it takes?
There's no UMD slot, but there's like SD card-like things, basically like the DS cartridges, but we don't know that actual games are shipping on it.
Okay, I don't know if
we have to
going...
think if you're taking like a port of COD of Modern Warfare 4 and put it onto a flash cart, that's going to have to be freaking enormous and just kind of expensive because you can go to Best Buy and like a 4 gig stick will cost what, $20 by itself.
Yeah, so, we're getting to the point to where I think that's going to drop a little bit because I think what is it. Moore's Law is every 18 months.
It's not that bad.
Yeah. Is every 18 months.
These are proprietary Sony cards.
Yeah.
They're not actual SD cards, which is, I think, one of the biggest mistakes they can make here.
I kind of agree with you because the whole UMD thing, I will say out of everything the PSP did, the UMD is a failure. Like, making this own really weird disc basing with plastic around it, and that sucked. That was terrible.
With UMD and Memory Stick Duo, those were two mistakes.
Yes.
They were kind of stuck with the UMD though because it wasn't at really a stage where like RAM prices were so cheap that they could make like they could sell like the size of the game they needed efficiently.
Right.
So they had to have it on a physical media of some sort because there also wasn't like the broadband support to just sell it online.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of had to do that discs thing. Otherwise, the games would be entirely too expensive at that point in time.
Right.
It was just a really weird time. They thought they could sell the same thing as like the PlayStation 1 with this disc. They said, it's load times. Nobody's really going to worry about it. Well, it kind of turns out it's a pretty big deal on a handheld.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they were stuck.
Yeah.
Basically
and
UMD happened.
The only thing that just blows my mind is this kind of correlates with the next LOL Sony piece of news. But they're making they're making a flash card, right? They're essentially making a small memory stick that can go into the system, and they're probably going to end up using Memory Stick Duo and stuff like that anyway. Yet this is the same company that is suing people for jailbreaking, essentially, a console. So if you're getting a memory stick, how much easier is it going to be to make a hack on a custom stick like the R4 for the DS and fucking break that shit wide open?
Well, they're going to assume that they can make it unhackable and all sorts of crap.
You know, my theory, I posited this today, is the reason Sony's going so crazy over the PS3 hacking is because they set up a situation where they're saying you can have a PS3 on the go with the PSP2. But if the PS3 is broken wide open, then why would anyone choose a PSP2 game? They could either have the free PS3 game or, there's no... our motivation to go portable.
Right.
So they're seeing their PSP2 strategy kind of flowing down the drain if this hacking goes further.
Well, they also have to kind of make good with the publishers because if no publisher is going to make a PSP2 game if Sony doesn't act like rabid mad dogs against these guys.
Yeah, or the hell, they might stop supporting some of their PlayStation 3 projects. You know what I mean? Like, but the same type of thing happened with the 360. Like, you had those jungle flashers and stuff like that where people were downloaded booted discs and, people could play them. And then, Xbox Live would put out an update and it would kick them until they found a new way to do it. It's just – it's a part of life. It's one of those things that they should once again take the Steam way of doing things and use that backwards logic of going, okay, these guys completely broke our system. Let's fucking hire them so they can make a way that it'll never happen again.
Well, that's Sony's basis for suing George Hotz, is he offered his services to Sony, and they're saying, well, he wanted financial compensation, so they're going to sue him for it.
Yeah, that's...
They think he was, like, blackmailing them or whatever.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, this is a true story. I can't release names, but there was an actual guy that I used to work with who made his side money by going outside of hospitals with a laptop and breaking into the databases. and then walking up and like, I'd like to talk to your chief executive in the building, and then go up and be like, I have the social security number of every patient in this building. You can pay me to never release it, or and you can hire me to do security so this never happens again. He made
was his name Zero Cool?
Yeah, his name was Rip McLarge Beef, and he wore sunglasses everywhere. But that's a true story. Like, businesses so do this type of stuff all the time. No, it worked.
Would they pay him?
Yep. He got hired on. He fixed their security, and they never had a problem with it again. So you just have to think like that. You have to be like, okay, how do we protect our brand instead of, like, flying off the handle? They have to think business-wise. And I guess, you know, for every good thing they're doing, like, okay, we're going to get more Western development support for the PSP2, but then we're going to go off the handle and sue someone for giving people features that they wanted on the system anyway that we took away from them. Like, because right. These were features that were in the PlayStation 3 that were taken away, like custom OS support. That,
you
know, and
if you log on to your PlayStation right now and update it, you lose the ability to, like, swap hard drives.
Yep.
So every time they keep stripping functionality from your machine. I'm not going to put my PlayStation online. I'm kind of afraid to, you know, not just because of the hacking thing, but also because if I do, I don't know what the hell my PlayStation 3 is going to do at that point.
Yeah. Give people.
Yeah, they're moving into slightly scary territory because Rearm 2 came out this week. Mm-hmm. And if you buy it on Xbox Live, you can play it whenever. But if you buy it on PSN, you have to be connected to PSN to play it,
yeah.
At least when it starts.
So it's basically Assassin's Creed 2, what, DLC, right?
Right.
Yeah, like Ubisoft's DRM.
Yeah, and they completely canceled that out. Like, they were like, okay, let's like, Ubisoft was like, all right, let's get our DRM back under check. You just have one little activation thing, which everything does. I think Steam does it, Battle.net does it. Like, it's kind of the easiest way to do things is do it.
Well, it's a double standard now, because I'm accustomed to this on PCs, but I don't want it on my console.
It's true.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
But I want to bring up the argument, and this is could be a straw man argument, but I want to hear your guys' take on this, is whenever you hear that, you know, the NGP is targeted as the port console, like, oh, well, we're going to do ports, and then no one's like, well, we don't want console games on our handheld, yet these same exact people pre-ordered the Ocarina of Time on the 3DS the day it was announced. Like, that shit.
You mean more like we don't want remakes or rehashes on there, yeah.
I've never had a problem with console games on the handheld so much as games that are clearly not fit for the portable.
Right.
Like, when the PSP came out, one of the first games I bought was Two Thrones, or whatever the remake for the PSP was called.
Yeah.
Because I really love that game. I really love that Prince of Persia title. And the PSP version was awful, because there were still the same save points. There was slowdown. There was reduced models. They should have just either, if they were going to put the game there directly, add some content, add some more save points, give the ability to save anywhere. Those are fine. But when they just straight up put a console title on a handheld, they need to actually fit it so it's playable.
Yeah.
That was the problem with PSP at launch, is you could never start a game and wait for the bus and then, like, turn the game off, because you wouldn't get anywhere. You'd go through a bunch of splash screens, a loading screen, maybe start up the first cutscene.
Yeah, that's true. It just seems like such a backwards mentality that, you know, it's a bunch of pots calling kettles black on places like GAF, and it just blows my mind that the same mentality that can never work for any other company automatically means success for Nintendo. Like,
well, then again, you know, when we're talking about, like, the ports, we're talking about, you know, they're going to have whatever HD console release, and then the same day have the PSP2 release, right? It's been a long while since anybody's played Ocarina or had the ability to play Ocarina of Time, right?
Yeah.
Aside from, like, is it on VC, Virtual Console?
It is.
Yep.
Okay, my argument shot to hell. But still, it's been a while since it came out.
Well, it's also possible that people just really like Ocarina of Time. Like, to your argument, Wes, let's take, for example, the Metal Gear games.
Yeah.
Like, they showed off Metal Gear Solid 4 at the PSP conference, and let's assume let's assume it's a full game.
Okay.
I would buy Metal Gear Solid 3 on 3DS and not buy 4 on NGP, because I really, really liked 3, and I didn't like 4.
See, and that's fair. I mean, that's a completely fair thing, but basically my mental state of where I get super pissed is if you were to be like, well, fuck, well, why'd they just put Metal Gear? They're just farming out their, you know, Sony's just farming out their franchises to portables, well, yeah, and no one wants to play that. But hey, Metal Gear Solid 3 is on the DS, and I want to buy that. Like, that's where it breaks apart for me, and there's more and more people that think like that.
System warriors tend to go either way, so... Right.
Yeah.
I will say this. A lot of it is this kind of, as Imran said, kind of system wars and hyperbole or sensationalism. Because if you remember when the PlayStation 3 first came out, God, I don't know what, like 90% of platformers were just like, LOL Sony all the time. And mm-hmm. and I'm just like, I don't know, I can't understand the mentality. And now, what, like, I think, I don't know, a lot of platformers own PS3s. So a lot of it's this kind of initial skepticism and...
Well, the thing is, you know, Sony has fucked up basically since, the release of the PS2 Slim. They really haven't had anything that's been unrequited success since that point, or unqualified success, rather, since that point. They don't really have a lot of goodwill. They don't really have a lot of reasons why you should be pulling for them. When basically Nintendo just has been doing everything right since the DS.
Well,
and remember when the DS was launched, everybody said, two screens, this is bullshit, there's no reason for this. A lot of the same arguments people make about the PSP2 right now. Mm-hmm. Well, the fact of the matter is, we haven't been given a reason to think that Sony can handle the PSP2 confidently.
Yeah, but I mean, it's one of those things that even using that for me is kind of off, because Nintendo makes their money from stuff they did 30 years ago. So of course they're going to do it well, because they already did it. Like, that's kind of where that thing kind of – it turns once again into system wars, like you guys are saying. But it's, I guess, just business mentality, like the mental state of where these companies are at given their products. You know, Sony's very much going for the tech side of things where,
I think the rumor about Nintendo's – Nintendo manages their franchises extraordinarily well.
Yeah, they do.
Right? And Sony, since the PlayStation 1 has come in, Gran Turismo, and they've completely blown that to hell. So they don't manage their franchise as well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Wipeout should be an enormous, enormous thing, and it's been just shunted off to the handheld. It's an afterthought.
And that,
you know, it's just so many ways that they've fucked up their franchise.
Sony doesn't commit. That's their problem.
Yeah, I agree.
They're willing to let's take the Move controller, for example. I was actually kind of excited for that, but they haven't shown any real software for it. And they have their own developers talking trash about it. Like, Naughty Dog said something like, it's not for real games.
Right.
And it would actually make sense with something like Uncharted. But if Sony does not know how to lay the law down, and they don't know how to actually go full tilt with these sort of things.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm fearing with the NGP. Like, the actual brand mismanagement, why would they have a handheld that they're explicitly saying we want to try and make this big in the West, but reveal it almost a year after the 3DS and only in Japan?
Yeah, without a price point. And yeah, that's true. It seems like everything is 70%. Like everything.
They have no focus.
They mean well, and I think it's the thing of we can tell that Sony is an entertainment company while Nintendo is a video game company.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Like,
well, that used to work in Sony's favor.
Yeah, that's true.
Around 2004, if I could figure out how this happened, I'd probably write a book about it. But something shifted, and people stopped going for that entertainment kind of quality.
It's so bizarre. Do you think it was like expectations? Do you think it was like us as gamers wanting something else? Or
I think cost is probably the biggest thing associated. Because once we broke that $400 marker, a lot of people just went, fuck this.
Right.
Yeah. And they still haven't recovered. But, you know, the thing, Sony changed the market when the PlayStation 1 was released. You know, during the 16-bit era when you had Sega and you had Nintendo, they were basically chasing the same, like, late teens, like mid-teens crowd.
Yeah.
Sony came in and said, you know what, these guys don't actually have disposable income. The frat kids over here, they have a lot of disposable income. Let's sell games to them. And they just shifted the market over from like late teens to like 18-year-olds to like the 24-year-old demographic.
Yeah.
And Nintendo didn't catch up.
And
they never caught up. And they decided, well, instead of doing that, let's move it back over here to the Wii with the mainstream.
Yeah.
And Sony didn't catch up from that.
Because that
was just constantly just trying to catch up from where the market's shifted.
That is true, because Sony looked at, okay, well, the Sega Genesis kids and the Super Nintendo kids, now they're about 6 years older. You know, yeah. like, so we're going to go after those same people in a different way. And right. it worked.
Nintendo was just selling to the same age bracket, which they always do.
Right.
You know, they don't yeah. they don't ever move up.
But I'm going to buy the shit out of Pokemon.
The frat people that have disposable income, they only have as much disposable income as, like, you know, their parents allow them for yes. the weekend.
Right.
So yeah. they're not going to pay the $600 for a PS3. They're going to spend all that on, like, 12 buckets of beer.
Yeah, they're not going to spend $60 on the next Uncharted. That's dumb.
Right, it's just a bizarre thing. Like, it's a fascinating topic. Like, I love the whole 3DS because the 3DS NGP thing. Because at the end of the day, I think that both of them will put out extremely rad games, like unbelievable games you can't get anywhere else. And it's like, oh well, these could be Game of the Year contenders, like on both systems. But there's just a weird mental state. I guess it's a mix between the hype machine and system wars and
my worry for the NGP is. There's nowhere Japan can go with it. They can make their HD games and use those assets for PSP 2 games, mm-hmm. but yeah. there's not going to be a whole lot of from the ground up for it.
Right, which is scary.
Like, take, for example, Kingdom Hearts. It's taken the Kingdom Hearts team 6 years mm-hmm. to make one game, and they're not done yet. They haven't announced a date for Versus 13. Meanwhile, they've pumped out, they managed to pump out Birth by Sleep in about 3 years on the PSP.
Right.
They can't do that same thing for the PSP 2. They're going to have to make like a Kingdom Hearts PS3 and use those assets for a PSP 2. But it kind of hurts the system in general if it can only be the asset reuse system. Because budgets are just too high and yeah. time is too limited.
Right, and so you wouldn't want to have a dedicated team just making something for a handheld if both systems can use both assets.
Right. Well, you don't want a dedicated team dedicated to making games for a Sony handheld, but you can make a lot of money have a team dedicated to a Nintendo handheld. That's basically been the story.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some big third party is going to have to go all in, or Sony is going to have to show some major commitment yes. before there's a big flood of third party releases.
That's true. They have to make sure it works. And I mean, like
I'm sure Kazuo Hirai is now at Capcom and has been parked outside their offices for the last 2 months. Because if they take Monster Hunter elsewhere, he has a lot of explaining to do.
Yes, absolutely. Because I think that is the ticket. Because Monster Hunter, of course, it sells well in Japan. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's like WoW levels of popular.
Has Monster Hunter's success in Japan really translated to success for other like PlayStation portable games?
It has for every game that's like Monster Hunter, okay. which is a lot of them now.
Yeah, that's true. Because Monster Hunter worked so well because it had the local-based co-op Wi-Fi. And, you know, once again, in Japan, like, everyone already has, like, everything right there on a train or a bus or whatever. And they're going to just open up their PSP and play it. And, you know, that type of gaming hasn't come over because it's that weird mix of local co-op and Wi-Fi. So, you know, we're not quite there yet because not everybody has the stuff that's needed, like, in your apartment complex or something.
But we'll see how it works out.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people assume that it's going to be like the last generation, that the DS is going to take the massive shift and the PSP 2 is going to carve out its own either profitable or software quality niche. Mm-hmm. But I'm not necessarily sure. I think the 3DS is going to do worse than we think.
I kind of think so too. And I think it has to do with, well, we're going to bring you all the hardcore Nintendo stuff like Ocarina of Time and Star Fox. I mean, the new Kid Icarus does look pretty amazing, but well, I think that's starting to wear thin.
Looking at the two, because they're finally making a big upgrade to the PSP or whatever. You know, they're adding the second analog now. They're doing tilt, whatever. And I don't know. Really, I feel like I could probably get everything that the 3DS is going to give on my current DS. I mean, maybe less graphically, you know,
right.
So or whatever. But I mean, but the only new thing really is I guess there's infrastructure stuff and a store or whatever. But the only new thing is the 3D thing. And well, we talked about that before.
Alone,
but
the graphic upgrade alone will allow them to do more stuff.
Right. Yeah, it'll do a lot more stuff. That's true. But just kind of control. I guess the PSP has some more options now, the new one. But I think the one thing that probably excites me most, and I don't know, this is in the PlayStation 3, the PSN has had a lot of kind of little really neat indie developed games, mm-hmm. you know, like Flow, Pain, all those games, Flower, et cetera, et cetera. So if the PSP gets some really neat kind of If we see kind of what's happened on like the iPhone app store, although I doubt that will happen. But if it gets some neat kind of indie games, that's what is excited me the
that's
most, kind I think, of about the new PSP.
It's kind of the direction that they both have to go, though, right?
I think so.
They have to pull in these guys because they're able to make cheap games. It's a lot easier to like have a market full of like $5 games than it is have a GameStop rack full of $40 games, mm-hmm. especially when these guys are going to have to compete with the iPhone.
Yeah.
I think the worst thing that Nintendo and Sony can imagine right now is Angry Birds. Not because it's like an incredibly quality game, but because it's massively popular.
Yeah.
And no one knows why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like Facebook. Like, how did it, why did it, you know?
Yeah. It just sort of appeared one day and everyone in the world had played it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it just I don't know. It is really a story because you can play that exact game on like 1,000 Flash websites.
I think both Sony and Nintendo and probably Apple, they want that next thing. Whatever the next Angry Birds is going to be, they want it to be on their system.
And it's weird because you can't force it, right? I mean, that's not something you can plan for. Like, we're going to give everyone the tools to give us the next Angry Birds. It doesn't work that way. And that's kind of where I see this kind of handheld generation going, is it seems like now they're trying too hard to target to that mentality, which neither of them have. Because even Reggie said, the poison of – or you know, however he said it, he was like, the worst thing that games have to deal with now is like these disposable $2 games, because it's going to drive down the value of legitimate games. And I was like, you idiot. This is your ticket. This is your meal ticket right here. Like, find a way to do this.
He's talking down those games. It sounds like he's deriding those small developers.
He is. He is. He absolutely is. And that's dangerous. That's very dangerous, because then you end up like Sony. I mean, no offense, but that's what happens.
Well, and then I mean, now
it's kind of weird that he says that when his own system is selling like 99-cent flashlight laps. So
yeah,
and then but you're right. That's where they have to go. I mean, if we look at these success stories of this last year, Minecraft, Angry Birds, mm-hmm. and even to some extent some of the smaller ones, right? Super Meat Boy. But man, I bought like Super Quick Hook and these hook games that Rocket Cat Games makes for the iPhone for like 99 cents, $3, and I wish there was some way to find out how much time I spent in them, because it's a lot.
Right.
I think that the thing they're going to convince people is to, everybody already has an iPhone, right? They're going to convince people that they need to carry around their iPhone and their PSP 2 or the DS3. And if the iPhone can do gaming good enough, people don't want perfect. They want good enough. We've learned that. That's why people don't buy digital cameras anymore.
It's true.
Right. And that's the issue they're going to have. And if they're still thinking on a mindset that they can sell $40-$50 handheld games, then they're screwed.
Yeah,
they can't compete like that.
Yeah, well, see, that's the one thing. Well, okay, this is kind of a tangent when it goes to phones. Like, we've got all these new phones coming out, Windows Phone 7 and stuff, and a lot of them have some kind of App Store, video games, Android, et cetera, et cetera. But since iPhone kind of got the lockdown on it first, their store is obviously, much better. It's much more superb than the other ones, as far as I can tell. Although I guess Windows Phone 7 has things like Ilo Milo, and who knows what else it's going
to
get.
Nobody knows. Nobody has a Windows Phone 7 to
yeah, nobody.
my brother got one at work, and it's pretty nice. I mean, I like the interface. I mean, just kind of visually, it's really nicely designed and stuff. And I played Ilo Milo, and it looked great, and it was fun. And so, my iPhone, my old iPhone 3G is like breaking. Every update, Steve Jobs is like, you must upgrade to a new phone by making things like maps break and shit. And so, I'm getting to the point where I might, do I want to wait for the next iPhone 4? Or, do I want to get on something else? Because my iPhone right now has all these great games that I'll keep playing and playing. So I don't know, man. I mean, my handheld fix has definitely gotten on my iPhone since I got that.
Yeah.
I mean, I've spent time on my DS or PSP now and again, but really, my phone's been where it's at.
Well, Apple also has an advantage where they can force people to upgrade every 2 years, kind of like you were saying. They can just take away functionality. Yeah. And you have an encouragement to buy a new phone every 2 years because you're subsidized for that phone. Your contract's up. You might as well. Sony and Nintendo are going to be trying to sell their handhelds for the next 4, 5, 6 years, the exact same handheld.
Right.
Where God only knows what the next iPhone's going to look like in 4 years from now.
Right, exactly.
I will say that Rome does not last forever, and whoever's on top now will eventually be toppled, and whoever topples them will eventually be toppled. Mm-hmm. So I don't know that we're necessarily moving towards the downloadable bite-sized apps as, you know, the mainstream sort of thing. But I feel like even if we do, we're not necessarily going to stay that way either.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, there's a middle ground. I mean, you can have, like, the stuff like Reggie says, they're throwaway games. Well, you can also sell a ton of, like, the PSN stuff and the XBLA stuff for $15. People are willing to do that. Yeah, you can have a pretty good-sized game using the PS2, PSP2 and the 3DS hardware doing that. Mm-hmm. So that's a happy middle ground, and it's sitting there on your system at all times. You just boot it up and you don't have to carry around disk with
it. I think it'll be popular long enough for everyone to learn from it. And then it'll move on, like, because it is definitely something you want to learn from, because it's got more people into gaming than, well, I mean, since the Wii. So
yeah,
and it's gaming you have at all times.
Exactly, it's always on you.
Well, all this said, it's I don't know. I find myself in a really interesting spot, and maybe you guys as well. And I don't take this the wrong way, Mark, but you probably have been here already. But you know, when the PSP and DS and stuff and all these came out, I was. You know, I was either in college or just out of college, and I didn't really have a lot of money. But now I'm working a steady job. I have a house. Yes, I'm paying it off, whatever. But I've got more money, more disposable income. And so I'm in the position where I can enjoy more of these things. And yet
– you know what you have? You have disposable income, but what you don't have now is disposable time.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what I was going to say. And now that I have all this money, I'm more particular about it. Like, I want to make sure, okay, yes, this is a good investment or whatever, instead of just I keep going back to this kind of MMO argument where, you know, I played City of Heroes and I was paying $15 a month.
For how long? That way?
For in college, right? And now that I'm out, I'm like, I can't really justify that $15 a month. I mean, I know I play it, but I'm like, I got to save money.
Right. Until you get to that point, because that's a psychological thing of like projection. Yeah. And, you know, you're constantly telling yourself, well, only a fool would pay $15 a month on something if I didn't get enjoyment out of it. That's how so many people are locked into WoW. Is like, I'd be an idiot if I spent this money and didn't play it. So then they play it, so they spend more money on it. It's like a deep circle, but it's one of those things that I'm kind of with you. I know for a fact I will end up having both of them, the NGP and the 3DS. But it just depends on which one do I want first. And I mean, I imagine
all three of us will at some point. Yeah. I mean, you know, all of us wound up owning a PSP and a DS in some fashion.
I'm
still stupid with money. That's what
I've still got my original PSP, my PSP Fat. I mean, it works like a charm.
So which one do you guys think you're going to get first? I mean, if we already established, we'll probably get both of them because, I mean, we're just fans of games, not necessarily systems. So we'll play whatever the good games are on. But which one do you guys think you'll get first?
Well, 3DS comes out first, so I guess I'm getting that first.
Right.
The first one that drops in price.
As long as the PSP2 is below 350, and I don't mean below 350 like 349, I mean like 300, which is unlikely, but Sony could be crazy.
Sony could do it. I could see. I think 299 is a sweet spot, actually.
If they do that, I'll buy it launch. But
they're going to do that, but it's going to have the content on 3G. There's no way they can convince American carriers to do that for free. So what's your price point with the 3G and with a subscription?
Right.
I'm not going to do a 3G subscription because that just seems stupid. Yeah. I already pay a 3G subscription, and it's more than enough.
So you get just the Wi-Fi model.
I just get the Wi-Fi.
Yeah, that's what I'd do, definitely. Yeah,
I think go ahead, Brian.
All right, which one first? I don't know. I think I may have gotten lost in it, but I said whichever one drops in price first.
That's right.
I don't know. I really don't. I mean, it kind of depends on the games. Right now, there's nothing on like the 3DS or either really that really excites me, and I've got plenty on my plate as it is. So I'm in no rush. I mean, I'm going to sit back. Maybe I'll – I think my brother got me my PSP for like my birthday just randomly, and I was like, sweet. So that may end up happening. I don't know. I'm in no rush. I'm not like frothing in the mouth or anything.
Right.
That said, I did want to, before we finish up here, I did want to just kind of briefly go which games we're most looking forward to in the next couple of months.
Mm-hmm. Well, to wrap this one up, Mark, which one would you think about getting first?
You know, I'd probably be the 3DS just basically because the PSP2 is wholly unmanageable, like from a size standpoint. So imagine that's going to be a thing just going to hang out the house and play stuff as it comes on PSN. That thing's just stupidly large. I mean, it's
it really is.
It's not exactly the functionality of a tablet. You can't put it in a pocket. It's just dumb. It's just
Well, it's not only that, but it's the fact like the clamshell design, like the whole open close thing for the DS, just lends itself so much better to traveling with. Don't get me wrong. You know, I
don't worry about it. You have to have a screen protector for your PSP too, because I don't know if you guys own a PSP and you know what the hell happened to the screen.
Oh yeah.
Yep. So, well, I did the same thing with the DS. Admittedly, I don't know. They need to do something about, you know, you buy it and then you're like, okay, now I got to buy a screen protector for everything, fucking everything, iPhone, everything. I don't know why there hasn't been some kind of solution. I don't know.
Yeah, you're telling me.
A solution. It's Gorilla Glass.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I've seen that stuff. Use that though. Yeah.
It's like the whole making a car, but you know, you can't make a car that a fender won't fall off, but we can put something out into outer space. It's like that type of thing. Like, why couldn't you just build a screen protector on it? But you know, but I think my pick's going to be the 3DS, and I might kind of bite myself, you know, put my foot in my mouth right now. But I think the reason why I'll go with the 3DS first is I already know how it's going to play. I haven't held it. You know what I mean? I have not had it in my hands, but I know how it's going to work because
your story is going to change when they come out with Final Fantasy VII X2 on the PSP2.
Yeah, X2 featuring Kate Sith as the main character, and then it's a Red 13.
Children as a playable game.
Yeah, it's a Red 13 petting mini game on it, and I'll be like,
It's actually just SSX. It's just the snowboarding game.
Yeah.
I think this is the best possible outcome.
Yeah, that's true. But
as long as we're mentioning the PSP2's physical look, I just want to say I really, really hate transparent buttons.
Really?
Doesn't it look exactly the same?
I didn't like
the
PSP1 too, either. Why not just go with the same color scheme that's on the DualShock?
I don't know, man. That white one? Have you seen that white one?
It looks okay, but it looks like they attract dirt like crazy.
Yeah, that's true.
There's like I notice little pieces of dust underneath my buttons on the PSP. Yeah. And the only way to get rid of it is to open it up, which gets in more dust. And
right.
I'm anal about that sort of thing, and it bothers
me. The only thing I'm worried about.
You could also replace the buttons with because they're highly modifiable.
Yeah.
True.
The only thing I'm terrified about is I'm so glad they have two analog sticks on there. How the fuck am I gonna do two analog sticks while I have my fingers on the triggers and my hands are hitting like the directional pad plus the square circle? Like, am I going to use the bone in my thumb to like wedge it? Like, I'm trying to seriously make my hand in a position. Like, how the am I going to do the claw? Like, what am I going to do?
It'd just be like holding a DualShock, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's exactly the same as far as I can tell. I mean, you're missing one shoulder button, I guess, right?
Except
now you have the back pad and you're moving the actual thing around.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, it could just feel great in your hands, but looking at it just feels like, I don't know, if the thing's so big, your hands are going to be further apart than a DualShock, right?
So it's very much a Chimera, but I don't know if, like, you know, they've actually thought about – I assume we're going to see a different version of it by the end of the year.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. But, yeah. Good topic.
Maybe it'll look like a boomerang.
Yeah. Oh, God. The battery.
Just make it a slider. I don't understand why the stupid thing wasn't a slider.
Yeah.
But awesome topic. And, yeah, let's go around. Or, Brian, you said kind of what we're looking forward to in the next few months.
Real quick. I got my credit card and I earned up enough points. And I got myself, like, a $50 Amazon gift card. Mm-hmm. So I was looking around, you know, all right, what do I want to spend this on? Man, I gotta stop looking at Brink stuff because I'm so fucking excited for that game. So I thought about using that and then activating it on Steam if I could, but I'm not quite sure. Usually, you know, if it's on Steam, I'll just buy it there.
Right.
I don't know. Brink and Deus Ex, it's kind of a toss-up between those.
Yeah.
Brink's far away, though, so I have to put it out of my mind right now.
All right. Well, I say we have the three of us can give Brian one joke answer and then one serious answer on what he should buy with his $50.
Tell me what I should buy.
$50 Amazon gift card. But
if any of you say briefs, I will murder you.
We will buy. Let's see. Okay, my serious one. Okay, I'm gonna have a serious one as far as a game goes, and a serious one as far as a not game goes, and then my joke one will be like $50 in pancake batter.
Oh,
you can just special order it and get it delivered.
Fuck it.
And just like your wife will be so confused, like, why did you order this much food?
Because I love pancakes.
Oh, they're so good. But okay, my non-gaming thing is you have to buy all of Planetary.
Right. Yes.
You have to. Like, yep. It's almost a requirement now. But I would say my game that I would ask you to get, the one I'm really looking forward to, oddly enough, I'm in the new Warhammer beta for Warhammer Retribution. It's really effing good. It's very good. It's RTS, but with not like StarCraft macro stuff.
Is Relic working on that one?
Yep. That's but sadly.
It's going to be quality.
Yeah, but sadly they took down Company of Heroes Online. They shut that bastard down, which I'm sad about. But yeah, Relic's working on it, and they did rebalance stuff. They're adding all new like AI support, and they're doing a full thing, and it's only $30. So you have $20 left over.
I'm sorry, Wes. It's common knowledge that Brian Believe doesn't play RTS games. Next contestant.
Okay. All right. Here's what I suggest. All right. What I need you to do is take that $50 gift card from Amazon, transfer it to my account so I can buy a simple human trash can. This will represent half of the money I need to buy this trash can, but it's gorgeous. It's brushed metal, brushed aluminum. It's got twin butterfly opening, twin butterfly doors that swing up. It'd be amazing. It'd look great in my apartment. It's totally what you should do with that $50, and I appreciate it.
Look, I'm all about well-designed stuff and neat-looking things, so that's entirely a possibility.
The R2-D2 trash
can. Hold on.
Yes.
Half for the trash can? You're buying a $100 trash can.
Look, it's a nice trash can.
Actually, when
you
are really
literally throwing money away.
Look, you buy this trash can, I buy this trash can, it'll be... I will have the trash can situation for my life straightened out.
Yeah, but no,
but take that shit with me whenever a lady will come to the apartment, take a look at my trash can, and realize I got my shit together.
Right, but
she walks in there, sees the trash can, and goes, "I want to have sex with this man."
That is the entire goal of this.
Yeah, with the trash can watching.
It's like the line in Fight Club where he says, "You know, I had the sofa thing nailed down."
Yeah, sofa
this
thing
will be
is
my
covered.
Trash can thing nailed down.
Yeah. But then didn't he bring up the what is it a bidet? Like what example did he bring up? And he's like, it's a fucking blanket. So you're telling me? So I'll use that side. I'll use the Tyler Durden side.
Wait. A bidet? Do you mean a duvet? A bidet is a thing you see that shoots water up and cleans your parts and.
This is the French toilet.
Right. Yeah.
You're thinking of a duvet.
Duvet. That's right.
Duvet.
Yeah. But okay, so you're telling me you'll spend $100 on something that you put garbage into?
Yes.
That you could easily get for about $7.50 at the dollar store.
The ones at $7.50 for the dollar store, they look like crap.
The ones that
they don't hold together, and you know they just look terrible.
But you're throwing away like spaghetti leftovers.
Especially the one with the lids.
You'll never see them again with this.
The $8 ones you buy with the lid, like you have to leave your foot on the pedal for like 8 seconds before the air pressure works its way up and opens. Look, I'm willing.
It's a little lever thing that doesn't like break the first time you use it. Trust me, this is what you need to spend this money on for.
Mark, I'm glad you're a classy fellow. I will spend $80 on a nice wallet. I'm not gonna lie, I've done it. I've bought a really nice wallet for $80.
I'm thinking there's some things you need to spend money on and just not worry about them ever.
But a trash can's not one of them.
Trash can is totally one of them. You don't want to deal with that for the rest of your life.
Like a shower curtain, yes, because you don't want water.
No, shower curtain, that's stupid because it get mold on the shower.
Yeah, shower curtains are. You're
throwing garbage into a fucking $100 trash can.
I'm throwing the garbage into the garbage bag. See, the ideally, you don't want to sully the garbage can with the garbage. Yeah,
but garbage is around it all day. Like, that's what I'm saying.
It cleans the garbage. You know, it makes the garbage more livable.
So what happens if you get robbed and someone takes your nice trash can?
Ooh,
that's shitty.
Yeah, that's bad. I would be heartbroken.
And you know why they'd steal it? Because it's a fucking awesome trash can. Because
I could sell it at a pawn shop for a goddamn $1,000.
I would say that was a classy thief. And you know, I couldn't be too upset at him.
Yeah.
But for like a video game, L.A. Noir, what are you talking about? Buy fucking L.A. Noir. Do it right now. Go to GameSpot, order L.A. Noir. All right,
I hear it has cool faces. All right, cool. Yeah. Thanks, Imran.
All right. I don't have a joke suggestion because this is the realest suggestion you will ever get. You should buy, for $17, the Gawker Guide to Conquering All Media. But you should buy 3 copies. One so you can just keep to the right of the real copy, and it's always there, unmoving.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
That is the best answer I've ever heard.
Gawker. Holy shit.
Oh. And on the other one, just change the logo, but keep the same book.
It's got, like, Angelina Jolie on the front. There's, like, a nun. I think that's Jesus. Lindsay Lohan. What the shit?
Why did they write a book?
Who wrote the book?
Yeah, is it the same genius that just did the fucking iPad rejuvenation of the Gawker website?
Read the product description and read the quote at the bottom of it.
I can't. I literally cannot. It's hard to read, just like their websites.
Oh, there it is.
I came, nicely I saw, done. I conquered. With this book, I could have done it quicker. Julius Caesar.
Great. I highly doubt.
Die in a fire.
Jesus.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I will have to figure out what I'm going to spend these $50 on. Something useful, a video game or what. I just don't
trash
know.
Trash can.
Trash can. Well, see, we're pretty set on trash cans. We got some okay trash cans. I'm not in a rush to get a nice trash can. I could, but I want it to accompany a better house. So when I buy a new house, then I'll buy a new $100 trash can.
The only way I would buy a $100 trash can is if it was that big plant from fucking Little Shop of Horrors and it was singing to me about eating people. That's it. That's it. That's all I would do. Then I'd just hang out at home all day. Talk to my fucking singing plant trash can.
You gotta take a look at this trash can, though. I mean, it's... Yeah.
Look at this fucking trash can.
All right. No. Okay. I want you to show your dedication to the trash can. I want to see a Nitro Beer post by the end of the night about this trash can.
I can't. I got more Call of Duty Wednesday.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
Is there a YouTube video?
My trash can into it.
We could do a YouTube post about it. I would.
Review video game reviews of real-life objects.
Oh, man.
All right, so I'm sitting here about to unbox the superhuman deluxe butterfly trash can.
We gotta take it up to the roof of the building.
That was so fucking weird. Oh. Why was he on the roof? Why was he on the roof?
What is this? What the fuck? Why does everybody know it? We just took a like complete U-turn or 90-degree turn tangent, and you three knew exactly what the fuck was going on, and I am clueless here.
Okay, there was a what was it for? Was it like for StarCraft? Or
it was some unboxing.
Yeah, it was an unboxing video on Kotaku. I think it was for the like StarCraft Special Edition, and
Cataclysm. That was it.
Yeah, it was for Cataclysm. That's right, and. You know, normally you see, like, in this guy's, like, makeshift kitchen where there's a bunch of bullshit everywhere, and he's like, look, I got my copy of Cataclysm, and I'm just going to open it. And then, like, he takes scissors, and he gently puts it over the top. Like, he does all this. This one took place on the top of a skyscraper. Like, the video opened, he's like, hey, Luke here. And I was like, Luke's where? Like, where the fuck are you? And then, like, he's opening Cataclysm and not talking about why he's on the top of a building. Like, are you doing a bank heist? Amazing. Like, what the fuck are you doing up there?
Top of a skyscraper is generally very windy.
Yeah, it was. You could barely hear what you were
terrible
saying.
Audio. Yeah,
I was like, why was he here? Like, did he go out of his way to come here because he thought it'd be cool? You're on a skyscraper. Like, what are you doing?
Was there any context as to what skyscraper it was?
No! That's what blew my mind. No one talked about it. Not a single person mentioned it in the comments. I was like, did we watch the same video? Because why is that motherfucker on a skyscraper?
That's awesome. Oh, man. All right. Well, you've been listening to us for like 2 hours.
Yeah.
Go to bed.
This is a big one.
Go to bed.
We've made it before. It's been like 3 months since we did podcast.
Yeah,
it has. It has been a while. But, so you know, you can go to bed now, or you know, your half hour commute to work is done, and you're actually an hour and a half late to work now because you've been sitting in your car listening to the rest of this podcast. So go inside, report to your boss.
Yeah. Tell him that the best way to experience this podcast is with the touch panel on the back,
while wearing boxer briefs.
Yep. Thank you.
We'll be right back.